This is HBR2 Morning Cafe, and very excited to have two guests to tell us about a wonderful concert coming up. We have Ian O'Sullivan and Wu Hung, and they're going to tell us a little bit about two beautiful concert dates coming up. Wu, I noticed in the brochure for Chamber Music Hawaii that it says that these concerts are like a box of chocolates for the tango lover. Tell us a bit about them.
Yes, this is a collection of Astor Piazzolla's music, and not just tango. There are other music he wrote. It's fun.
So tell us about the dates and where they're going to be performed.
Okay, there are two performances. One is that this coming Monday at the Rich Duke, that's February 12th, and another one a week later at February 19th at Palico Theater, both at 7:30 in the evening.
How do they get tickets?
Okay, you can go to chambermusichawaii.org, or you can call the box office. The number is 489-5038. And I like to tell the audience that students, they can come for free with their ID.
Well, that's something not to miss. So first concert, Doris Duke Theater. That's the first one coming up.
Yes.
So Ian, tell us some more details about what we're going to be hearing. What inspired you folks to choose these particular pieces?
Yeah. Well, good morning. One of the reasons we chose the music is I already have played this once upon a time. So I was familiar with this tango. It's a history of the tango and one of Piazzolla's most popular guitar works, originally for guitar and flute, but oftentimes performed with violin or other instruments. And really the reason why the history of the tango is so successful is it really provides the listener with everything from, introspective, kind of subtle, really gentle moments, and within the same composition, it almost bipolar. It goes to these vigorous, energetic passages with amazing harmonies and accents and syncopations, which is what makes the tango so moving. Literally making your body move.
And what are some of the specific pieces on the playlist for this concert?
We're gonna play actually a violin and a guitar duet, and also there are some quartet pieces. We invited Jim Moffat to play clarinet with us.
So Wu, tell us a little bit more about the Tresemble, something about its history, and you shared with me before we went on air that in a way it's kind of a made-up word, so try to unravel the mystery if you would.
You can't find Tresemble, this word, in the dictionary. Well, under Chamber Music Hawaii, we have three chamber music groups. One is Honolulu Brass Quintet, and the Spring Wind Quintet, and the Galliard String Quartet. And those three groups we sometimes mix together and play some other repertoires that requires, or different family. That's where Tresemble came from.
It's a very active group. I mean, the whole group has a lot of concert dates throughout the year, don't they?
Yeah, we just actually did a concert with Joyce Yang about 2 weeks ago. The Spring Wind Quintet did the Rimsky-Korsakov's quintet with her, and we did the Shostakovich piano quintet with her as well.
Ian, you are also a music educator, which is very interesting. I want to talk with you a little bit more about that. But I'd like to know a little bit more about some of your other projects. I keep up with you on Facebook. I know you're performing here and there. I know you're quite active. What do you have coming in the pipeline? And what about some albums coming up in the future? Any more?
I think of music kind of like cooking dinner, right? You wanna you get your rice going first, and while the rice is cooking, you got your vegetables, chopping up on the side, and then you save the steamed spinach for last because that takes the least time to cook. And if you want everything to come out hot all at once, you kind of have multiple things going. I've got CD in the works. I'm working on transcriptions of 19th century and early 20th century Hawaii composers like Queen Liliʻuokalani or Kalākaua, Henry Berger, and Charles E. King. Specifically, those are a few of the composers I'm taking a look at. It's nice that we have, you know, soprano, alto, tenor, bass with piano accompaniment repertoire that's really coming out of the monarchy. And as a Hawaiian classical musician, that's, I'm trying to, I guess, find some kind of lineage and a tradition that I'm trying to carry on. The other projects include a solo record. I'm going to have some guest artists on it. Carlos Barbosa Lima, who was just in town, did a concert a few weeks ago at the Doris Duke. He performs a Brazilian number called Tico Tico, which is very popular here in Hawaii. And I thought, well, hey, you know, I'm going to be working on this CD of Hawaiian standards, you know, so like Dennis Kamakahi songs, and Tico Tico is one that we've kind of adopted here in Hawaii. And how cool would it be to record it with a Brazilian like Carlos?
I think it would be very cool. I played that as a kid on the Hammond organ, but I'm not going to tell you any more about that performance.
Okay.
But
all right.
I'm very familiar with that. And of course, as a local boy, it sounds like you know how to cook, by the way. So I
think
you make a mean stew.
Yeah. Standard. And I have another trio project in the works that I'll wait to announce that. That's kind of a special one, but may have a certain Mr. Peterson and a certain Mr. Verdery from Yale on the album. But we'll announce that later.
Ian, it's so interesting to me because you, of course, are very much rooted in the musical tradition here, but you did a lot of your study on the mainland. Where did you do your studies, and what brought you back home? You could have stayed, you could have probably worked in any venue, but you came home. What was that all about for you?
You know, I was very fortunate to get a tuition scholarship to Yale University. It was February in Connecticut. It was maybe 20-something degrees outside. And I applied for a job at the University of Hawaii. And, you know, I didn't hear back from them for several months. And around May, I got an email, said, hey, you interested in applying? And anyway, so I got a job. And amazing for a music graduate to get an actual lecturer position at a university. So I hopped on the next plane, moved home, and I've been teaching at UH ever since, and I've been at the Kamehameha Schools now for 2 years, where I'm directing a ukulele and guitar program there.
So I would say the state of classical music here in Hawaii is quite healthy. There's quite a lot going on. Woo, don't you find? I mean, a lot of groups, a lot of wonderful performances during the year.
Yeah, and also Hawaii Symphony, since it came back, we are getting very good concerts now.
I'd like to talk to you a little bit about, as a musician, your own early influences. We talk a lot on our shows, Classical Pacific as well, about young folks and getting them interested in classical music. Who were the people in your own life that really inspired you, perhaps family members? How did they help you? And then what musicians and composers did you fall in love with when you started?
Well, when people found that we have three musicians in my family, they thought, they always asked me, your parents must played classical music. And said, no, my dad is a police officer. What happened was he accidentally bought a stack of records and a very old record player and played it at home, and he fell in love with classical music. And so we grew up with classical music. So, you know, put the kids in this environment is very important, because that's how I grew up. That's my entertainment, actually, when I was a kid.
And Ian, what about you? How did it start for you back in the kid time?
Well, music for me really was similar to Wu, is that, you know, basically I heard it on the radio or on records my parents would play. And, you know, since I grew up in Mokulaia, there's not many live concerts or things out there. And so I was in love with music. I would play by ear all the time. One of the first songs I ever learned how to play was the Ice Cream Man melody, because every Saturday the ice cream truck, Mr. Softy, would park on the street. And I could hear that recording every weekend. And so I had an opportunity to sit with the melody and figure out the notes. You know, this is before iTunes, before smartphones, before all of that. And I often remind my students that when I was young, music, learning music was almost like a ninjutsu art form that no one around me, at least, knew anything about. And so the access to that information was very much appreciated when I got to the university and was able to surround myself with like-minded youth.
Woo, tell us again, if you would, the dates of these upcoming concerts.
Okay, the first performance is February 12th, next Monday, at Doris Duke Theater. And the second performance is February 19th at Palikou Theater.
And thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. Looking forward to your concert.